Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, for that wonderful introduction. Dear friend, thank you for tuning us in here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. Hope you can come visit us sometime at the Arlington Church of Christ. Hey, let's get right back into our study. Since the program is called Reading the Word, we are reading the Word. We're in a lesson I've titled Saul from Humble to Horrible, or From Meek to Monstrosity, and we've looked at how Saul was chosen. Saul, the king of Israel, by the way. How he appears that everything is going well. Join with me, if you will, in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and the first verse. Because so far, Saul is going with the Lord. We're going to see that as Saul becomes king, and we're studying really the kings of Israel. Saul will reign for 40 years. David, his son-in-law, will reign for 40 years. And the son of David, Solomon, he will also reign for 40 years there in the United Kingdom period. We see now that Saul is growing impatient. I'll be reading from the King James translation, 1 Samuel 13, verse 1. Join with me if you can. Saul reigned 1 year. And when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, let's pause here. So 1 year into his reign, he's growing impatient. Saul chose him 300,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan, his son, in Gabesh of Benjamin. And the rest of the people, he sent every man to his tent. So Saul has an army about 3,000. That's about the size of Belmead, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville, according to the 2010 census, which was the most recent data I had when this program was recorded. 2,000 go with him in Michmash. That's about the size of Spring City, Tennessee, in Ray County. And 1,000 go with Jonathan in Gibeah. That's about Lone Oak, Tennessee. That's near Dunlap. That's about 1,000, according to the last census. Now, Jonathan's group will kill some of the Philistines. Notice the Philistine army, verse 5. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. They came up and they pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth Avon. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen. They're a people that are innumerable. That doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit couldn't number them, but that just gives us a frame of reference of how big these people are. So the people hide themselves. When the men of Israel, verse 6, saw they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, the Bible says, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and high places and in the pits. They're afraid, oh, what will we do, even though our army is, you know, ready to fight. 3,000 versus 30,000, that's a 10-to-1 odd, but they should know that God is on their side. So my next point in my notes says, Saul, wait, don't act in haste. Notice verse 8. Saul tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. See, Samuel said, if you'll wait 7 days, I will be there. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Samuel does not come when Saul wants him to in the time he said he would, so he gets worried. I've often wondered if God told Samuel, you need to hold back, I'm testing Saul. We don't know that. But I often do wonder with the events as they transpire. So, we see in verse 9, Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And so he offers a burnt offering. See, Saul thinks he knows best. Why? He offers his own burnt offering, not one that the prophet of God, Samuel, is to offer. It's not one on Samuel's accord or on God's accord. Saul, in his infinite wisdom, I say sarcastically, thought he knew what was best. Notice, verse 10, it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Dear friends, I believe this to be no accident that Samuel shows up right as this sinful act is being completed. And so Saul is going to try to talk himself out of it. He goes to greet Samuel thinking that he has done nothing wrong. Verse 11, Samuel said, what have you done? No doubt he had seen the smoke, smelled the sacrifice. What have you done? And Saul said, because I saw the people were scattered from me. And because you didn't come within the days appointed, the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. See, here's an arrogant nature. Saul is the king of the Israelites. Saul should be the one leading. A good leader does not pass the blame. Yet Saul says, you were tarrying. the people were scattered, and I must try to keep peace. Notice that God is not going to be pleased with Saul and his kingdom. Verse 14, but now thy kingdom shall not continue, Saul says, because Samuel says, Saul, because you've done foolishly. Verse 13, verse 14, the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. That will be David, who will be the next subject of our study. And the Lord commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Samuel arose, gat him up from Gilgal to Gibeah of Benjamin. Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. See, God is not pleased with Saul, and Saul's kingdom will not last. It will not be a dynasty that we think of. Now, yes, his son-in-law will be on the throne, but that's because God chose David, not because it is Saul's son-in-law. And notice the people have dropped to the size of Eagleville, Tennessee, 600 people. They were 3,000. Now they're one-fifth that size, 600, because Saul has disobeyed. But if that's not enough, offering these sacrifices when the kingdom is taken from him, flip over with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15, because we see once again Saul, the subject of our study today, Saul disobeys again. Notice 1 Samuel 15 and 3. This is instruction from Samuel to Saul. He says, go and smite Amalek, utterly destroy all they have, and spare them not. But slay both man, woman, infant, and suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and the donkey. And very clear instructions here. If you ask me, you didn't, but I'm going to tell you anyways. When he says slay them all and then gives a list, that means everything here was supposed to be destroyed. Why? Because God is a righteous God. God knows what he's doing, and the people of Amalek have been sinful. And so their punishment is they are going to be destroyed off the face of the earth. Or at least that's God and God's intended plan. But dear friend, we need to pause very quickly. We want to give you some information about the Arlington Church of Christ, where I'm blessed to be the pulpit minister. Hope you can come join us at any of our worship services and stick around, because in about 25 seconds, we'll be back. We'll continue reading the Word with me, Justin Reed.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we are back reading the Word. By the way, we are studying Saul from humble to horrible, or from meek to monstrosity. If you want a copy of this sermon or the outline to it, it's all available on my website, thejustinreedshow.com, thejustinreedshow.com, thejustinreedshow.com. You'll see my picture there on the homepage, and also a link, a button to click on that takes you to every program in the Reading the Word series. This is our 79th program. Notice here that Saul was given specific instructions, 1 Samuel 15:3, destroy all the people of Amalek, utterly destroy them, and we see partial obedience, 1 Samuel 15:7 through 9. Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah, and thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and spared the people of Agag, the best of the sheep and of the oxen, the fatlings and lambs, all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed them utterly. Dear friends, please note this. Partial obedience does not equal full obedience. Was Saul obedient? Well, to a degree, yes. He destroyed most. Well, what's the problem? His instructions very clearly to smite all of Amalek and all their possessions and all the animals. And so what does he not do? The one thing that he was instructed to do. Look at 1 Samuel 15 and verse 12. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up in a place, and he's gone about, passed on down to Gilgal. Samuel goes to confront Saul. Samuel came to Saul, said verse 13. Saul said to him, blessed be thou the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, he may be pompous on that, but the Bible says he didn't do all of what God has said. I love Samuel. I feel like I could be a kindred spirit with Samuel for the simple reason that Samuel's a tad bit smart alecky. Notice this in 1 Samuel 15:14. Samuel said, "What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Putting that in modern speak, "Well, Saul, if you fully obeyed, then how come I hear cattle? How come I hear sheep in my... Is that just sheep? Did I just hear a sheep, Saul? Is that what I heard?" Once again, Saul tries to pass the buck. Saul said, "They, the people, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep or the oxen to sacrifice them unto the Lord God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed." So he's passing the buck again. He thinks if they take it, try to sacrifice to God, that will be pleasing. Dear friend, the problem is God said to destroy all. So when you don't destroy all, no matter how you try to wheeze your way back in, you have not been pleasing unto the Lord. Notice verse 19, he's rebuked. "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil? Why did you do evil in the sight of the Lord?" Once again, partial obedience does not equal full obedience. He does not fully answer the question when pressed. Verse 20, Saul said to Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and I have gone the way which the Lord sent me. I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people... they took of the spoil of the sheep, the oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. They brought them to sacrifice to the Lord thy God in Gilgal." Notice here the key verse, verse 22. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices than obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of the lambs." What's the point? Saul is told by Samuel, "It would have been better had you just done what God asked than try to weasel your way back door in." Saul is sorrowful, yet he still must face the consequences. Verse 24, Saul said, "I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray, pardon my sin. Turn again that I may worship thee." And Samuel said, "Saul, I will not return with thee. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord rejected thee from being king over Israel." See, he still had to face his consequences. So Samuel turned to go away. He laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. He tries to keep him from leaving. The Lord said unto, or Samuel said unto him, "The Lord," verse 28, "hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee, has given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than you are." See, he's teaching him a lesson. Now notice Samuel should have done, Samuel, verse 33, does what Saul should have done in the first place. Samuel said, "As thy sword hath made women childless, so thy mother shall be childless among women." Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Samuel, being an older man, kills Agag, or some of those of Agag, and there's no more visits from Samuel, verse 35. He visited Saul no more to see him. Now, as we close out our study of Saul from humble to horrible, or from meek to monstrosity, once you notice this, Saul will die in the end of the book, chapter 31, and he dies in battle with the Amalekites. You know, I can't help but wonder if his life would have been spared had he killed all the Amalekites instead of let some of them live. But nonetheless, he disobeyed. What are some lessons to learn from the life of Saul? Number one, people are not rejecting you. They're rejecting God if you're living for Him. We learn that from Samuel. And Samuel's upset when the people want a king. Number two, be careful what you wish for. The people got a king and everything that comes with a king, and then they learn to regret that. Number three, be sure you give credit where credit is due. It is all thanks to God for what He gives us. Number four, do not attempt to pass the blame on someone else for your actions. You do them. We sow what we reap. Galatians 6:7. Number five, partial obedience is not full obedience. Number six, we must pay for our actions. Saul had to pay for the sinful actions he did, and he lost the kingdom and basically went crazy without Samuel there with him. And number seven, God always has a plan. He always knows what He's doing and can turn any situation into a good situation. I hope the time that we have spent here today has been beneficial for you as it has been for me. I hope that you will join us again next week when we'll study the second king of Israel, that being David, and we'll key in on the blunder that he had with Bathsheba. So I hope you will join us then. Please invite a friend. Until then, we'll end this audio the same way we've ended every lesson. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.